Wacko.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
Snap to Penix on third down. Rolls out, looking downfield. There's a pass caught by Jalen Polk inside the 10, the 5. Dives into the end zone. Touchdown. Jalen Polk raced right by the pylon. He's into the end zone for 6, and the Huskies go 44 yards down the field. A 26-yard touchdown pass from Michael Penix. Huskies having a hard time getting after Ward. Ward just standing flat-footed. Now, here comes Braylon Trice out of nowhere. He decided, I've seen enough of this. He came in and sent Ward to the ground for a loss of 5. Snap to Penix, back to the 45, shoulder fake. Now, darts it deep downfield. Adunze beat his man. Adunze coasts in. Touchdown, Washington. 47 yards. A bullet from Michael Penix to Rome Adunze, his 7th touchdown catch of the year. And the Dogs reclaim the lead of the Boeing Apple Cup. It's 13-10, Washington. Explosive first half. Huskies down by 3. Snap to Penix. They're going to do a backward pass to McMillan. McMillan is looking. He'll throw it back to Penix. Penix catches and angles up the left side. 30, 20. Penix to the end zone. He's in. Touchdown, Washington. Jalen McMillan flipped it back to Michael Penix. And after all the touchdowns that Penix has thrown this season, it's a touchdown reception for the quarterback.
Snap. And no.
Penix is going to keep it. Penix goes into the end zone. Touchdown, Michael Penix. They had faked it to Cam Davis, who took a lick, and Michael Penix just rolls out to the left and walks right on in.
Penix is going to throw on the first play. Looking deep downfield. Wide open, Jalen McMillan behind everybody.
Great sideline, 20-10. Touchdown, the first play of the second half. Goes 75 yards. Michael Penix to Jalen McMillan. His 8th touchdown catch of the season. And the Dogs hit a home run.
46-yard line of Washington State. Penix going to throw on first down. Looking downfield. Takes a shot for Jalen Polk, who takes it in inside the 10. Sandwiched by a couple of Cougs and holds on for first and goal.
And now a quick break out of the huddle. Penix goes under center. Cam Davis behind him. There's a snap. Run a jet sweep to Adunze. He cuts upfield. Adunze's going in. Touchdown, Washington.
37-yard line. Snap to Ward again. Ward in the pocket. It's starting to collapse. He's going to go down. Cam Ward gets wrapped up.
Javon Parker, the freshman from Detroit, with the first sack of his Husky career.
Huskies handoff, Talapapa.
He breaks past everybody. He's going in for style points, baby. Big Papa's taking it in. 40 yards. Touchdown, Washington. The Huskies are bringing the Apple Cup back to Seattle, baby. Wayne Talapapa with the exclamation point. That's 50 on the board against the number one scoring defense in the Pac-12. The Dogs are going to 10-2.
You know, I got to be honest with you. Things were a little chippy, not just off the air, but the old Twitter timeline, the text line of 49451. Even the email was blowing up with Cougar fans running their mouths, yapping their gums all week long. And where are you? Huh? Where are you now? Everybody talking about how pissed off Husky fans were about the flag planting thing last year, how soft we were. Where are you at now? Huh? Where are you punk bastards at now? Where's your mouths now? Huh? Where's your tweets now? I don't hear from any of you mother chickens after what I saw on Saturday. Everybody go away? Everybody get COVID? Everybody tired? Everybody drunk? Everybody hungover? Huh? Where are you now? After what you saw on Saturday night in Pullman. I'll say the same thing to you, Dick, that I said after the Oregon game. You ready? How about that? Huh? How about that? Another frickin' thrashing by Washington, and order has been restored, my friend, in the world, with a 51-33 victory over Washington State. I'm telling you right now, Dickie, the only thing that stopped UW on Saturday was UW.
Yep.
That's it, because this was an absolute clinic on both sides of the ball. Took the defense a half to get going, but it was a clinic on both sides of the ball. I'm looking at a UW football team that averaged almost 11 yards to play per play to 5 for Washington State. I'm looking at a UW football team that had 6 sacks in this game on Saturday night, and they could have had 10. They could have had 10 if they wanted to. If they could wrap up on defense, they could have had 10 against that guy in Cam Ward. But you know what? Look, dude. This offense, I think even Cougar fans have got to admit, is one of the great offenses in the history of this conference. It certainly is one of the greatest offenses, if not the greatest offense I've ever seen at UW. And I've never seen a coaching staff, Dick, make the impact that they've made in the short amount of time that they've made it in. They took a football team that was averaging 21.5 points per game a year ago, and they are averaging over 40. That's an almost 20-point jump from where they were a year ago. Yes, the portal helps. There's no question about it. But it's not all about the portal, and it's not all about Michael Penix, because this is the same offensive line that was maligned, that was embarrassed, that was ripped, that was shredded, that was criticized and ridiculed by everybody last year. And Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb had the frame of mind, the foresight, the intelligence to look at this front five and say it wasn't their fault. It was the moron running the offense last year. It was the idiotic scheme that they ran a year ago, because this offensive line just went up against a defense that, going into the Apple Cup, Dick, had 74 tackles for loss and 29 sacks, and they did not allow one of them. Not one tackle for loss and not one sack. You know what that means? That means every play in this game was for positive yardage. Every single play. There was not one minus play in this entire freaking game against the number one, supposedly, defense in the Pac-12. And Ryan Grubb and Michael Penix and this offense took that defense to freaking school. Took them to school. This was as impressive an Apple Cup performance from an offense as I've seen in a long, long time when you consider the defense they were going up against.
Well, I'll answer your very first question that you asked first, and that is, where are you Cougar fans? Well, you know why they have to talk before the game, Dave, because that's the only time they can talk. All you got to do is look at the facts, and the facts are that it's been 35 years, and only one time has a Cougar team beat a Husky team that had nine or more wins. And only two times in the last 35 years have the Cougs beat a UW team when the Huskies have a better record than the Cougars. It just doesn't happen. We have found out that the Cougars only feast on the dogs when they're absolutely at their dregs, i.e. last year with Jimmy Lake slash Bob Gregory, i.e. 2007 and 8 under Tyrone Willingham. That's the only time.
Yep.
And so that's why they have to talk before the game, because there's no talking to be done after the game. And when you talk about Kalen DeBoer, I mean, you brought up some great numbers there. I got one for you as well, as far as the Huskies are scoring 1.6 points per possession more than they did last year. And that's a half point better than second place in the country.
Yeah.
So the gap between what the Huskies are doing this year versus last year, the gap is at the same from first to second in the country, Washington to Arizona, as it is from second to 10th in the country.
Yeah.
It is not only the greatest offensive improvement in the country, it is by leaps and bounds the greatest offensive improvement.
Well, you mentioned points per possession.
Yes,
right?
1.6 points more than last year.
Right, so they're averaging 19.3 points per game more per game. Okay, and obviously, you know, sometimes apples to oranges depends on what kind of offense you're running, obviously, the opponent, things like that. Okay, but 19.3 points per game more than they were a year ago. USC is number two in the country in that same category, and they're almost a full touchdown behind you at 13.8. 6 points, almost a full touchdown right behind you. So the impact that Kalen DeBoer, the impact that Ryan Grubb, the impact that Michael Penix has had on this football team has been unreal. I mean, Ryan Grubb said it today in the press conference, and my God, I wish I would have known, because I would have put the house on UW if I would have known this. Ryan Grubb said today he thought before the game they could go off on the Cougar defense, and boy, did they go off on that Cougar defense. But this is not just about the defense, because at halftime, and I don't know if we can grab this or not, somehow, some way, maybe it's worth it, maybe it's not. Tomorrow we'll have him on the air anyway with Mario and Greg and the Husky Honk Show. Greg and Mario at halftime on Saturday made a pretty impassioned speech to that defense to get their act together.
Yep.
And boy, did they get their act together. 6 points, 129 yards allowed, 5 sacks in half number two. It was almost like they went into the locker room and somebody else changed into their uniforms. It was unbelievable, the transformation from one half to the next. tackles that they couldn't make in the first half, they're making in the second half. Sacks that they could not wrap up on, they were wrapping up on in the second half. There was a point in time in this game, I'll be honest with you, Dick, where I was a little bit nervous. Huskies are up 35-33, and Michael Penix throws that pick in the end zone. Yep. Washington State gets the ball back with a chance to take the lead. What does the defense do? Three and out. Yeah. Sit down. Take a seat in the bench. Offense gets the ball back. Five plays later, boom, touchdown. And you're up 41-33 because
right
Peyton Henry misses the extra point. That was their chance. That was their chance. And to me, the beautiful thing about it is this team has obviously been led by their offense. No one's going to deny that. Michael Penix, captain, blah, 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 whatever. But the fact that you had maybe the most important moment of the Apple Cup on Saturday, and it was the defense that stepped up and gave the ball right back to the offense and said, here it is, for everything you've done for us this year, for all the times that you've carried us this season, we're going to get you the ball back, and you're going to score.
Yeah.
And you're going to get that touchdown that you thought you were going to get when before Michael Penix threw the interception there. Washington State's offense did not score a point in the final 21 minutes of this game on Saturday. I mean, that is an unbelievable leap from where they were in the first half of that game against Washington State on Saturday. So kudos to Jeremiah Martin, Braylon Trice, Eddie Olafoscio, Alex Cook, Asa Turner, Mish Powell, Jordan Perryman, all the guys up front, Thule, everybody, Voit Tanufi, because that was as impressive, Dick, a turnaround as I've seen from a defense from one half to the second after what I saw on Saturday night.
Yeah, and it's even past halftime, because remember the first two drives for the Cougars in the second half, it went punt, but then it went touchdown.
Right.
So,
that was from their 42 after Cam's fumble.
That's true. That's true. It was a short field touchdown. But I got to be honest, I was pissed at halftime. I was pissed at the defense. I was pissed that I thought while the offense was incredibly explosive in the first half, I was like, man, you got to help this defense out by sustaining a drive or two. I mean, yeah, I love the points, but you're not helping this defense at all by scoring in three plays, and they're just going back, and it was like a ping pong match. It was like a flag football game. It was a powder puff. There was more contact in my Turkey Bowl game on Thursday than there was in the first half of that Apple Cup. I just didn't like how it was playing out, Dave, because I thought the Huskies were allowing Washington State to stay in a football game that they had no right to stay into. And finally, all you needed was just a little bit of D. Just a stop here and a stop there. And you knew the offense wasn't going to get stopped. So if you could just get a couple sequential stops from the defense, you were going to roll in this game. And that's exactly what happened in the last 17 minutes of the football game.
Well, they had the lead at halftime, so it's hard to be pissed when you're up by, you know,
I didn't think they should be up by two at halftime against this Cougar team.
Right. It was 28-27, right? They're up by one,
point,
I think, at halftime.
Sorry,
whatever,
one point.
But it's fine. Neither here nor there. The point is that you thought they should have been up more. And I get it. I mean, look, I just think that they were shooting themselves in the foot. I don't think it had much to do with the play calling. What I thought is that Ryan Grubb saw a opportunity through the air where Washington State had no chance to slow down Michael Penix. None. And he was going to roll with that the entire freaking day. And that's what he did for the most part. I mean, look, Dick, second half, they kind of turned the Jets on offense when it came to the run game. They carried the ball 14 times for 134 yards in the second half. But Michael Penix also, they had 377 total yards in the second half.
Jeez.
They almost had 400 yards in the second half. And that's because Michael Penix in this passing game, when they get going, they're unstoppable. At least by this conference's standards, they're unstoppable. Nobody can slow these guys down. I mean, look, Kalen DeBoer gave a perfect answer today, and I think we'll hear it at 5 o'clock. When I asked him, the Pac-12 set up this new format, as you know, Dick, to get the two best teams to play each other in a Pac-12 championship game, right? No more, you know, 9-2 or 9-3 versus 5-7. I don't know if the two best teams are playing Friday.
No, they're not.
In Utah and USC.
They're not.
But Kalen DeBoer's answer was great. Look, we had our chance, and we blew it.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? We shouldn't have lost ASU.
Fair and square.
We shouldn't have lost UCLA. We knew the rules going in. I signed off on them. The coaches signed off on them. The ADs, everybody signed off on them. We knew it, and we blew it. And what we have to do now is make sure that we're in position for this to never happen again. And that's what I think this year has really become all about for Kalen DeBoer, not just planting his own flag, to steal an analogy from Washington State, but look what he's doing. He's learning that you've got to have way more depth in your secondary than what you have right now. He's learning that you can't just have a game that slips away from you, like the ASU, like the UCLA game. I think they would have lost the UCLA game no matter what. Arizona State, though, I don't know if they were really into it that day in the desert for whatever reason. And for whatever reason, he's got to find a way to cure that, to fix that. But he's learning all of these lessons, and he's going 10-2.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to go to the Rose Bowl if USC beats Utah. You know what? I got to be honest with you, man. I love the Rose Bowl. If they go to the Rose Bowl, it's going to be unbelievable, and I want it badly. To me, I don't even care what bowl game they play in. This year, 10-2, beating Oregon, beating Wazoo, beating Oregon State. That game against Michigan State on that day was a friggin' awesome experience and felt unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But to be where they're at right now, at 10-2, more than double their wins from a year ago, you said it yourself a couple weeks ago, Kalen DeBoer is creating a destination where every quarterback and receiver in high school football and the portal should want to come play football at UW. Every single one.
And all I heard from Cougar fans after that game was, well, enjoy it 1 year because Penix is gone. And I'm like, you don't get it, do you? I mean, yeah, Penix has been fantastic, but you don't get why this offense is so good. And it's not singularly Michael Penix. Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb are elevating a very good quarterback and turning him into a Heisman Trophy finalist.
Absolutely.
That's what they're doing.
Right.
Which means they can do that. Not that they can make a Heisman Trophy finalist out of any quarterback that comes in. You have to have a requisite talent like Michael Penix has.
Totally.
But they are going to be able to elevate every single quarterback that comes in beyond what their talent level is.
Well, and then just the cherry on top was keeping Oregon out of the Pac-12 championship game and also ending their Final Four. I mean, Washington was Oregon's Grim Reaper this year. They were the angel of death for Oregon. I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding? They were the freaking angel of death for the Oregon Ducks. They came into Autzen Stadium this year, and they took their soul, and they took whatever hope they had of doing anything significant. I'll tell you what I would do if I were a betting man, which I am. Whatever bowl game Oregon goes to, I'm betting the opponents. No. They won't have a rat's-ass concern to be there in that game.
You know who else might not?
Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Exactly.
Ohio State.
Well, we'll see, man. I just know that it's incredible how my mood swings when this Husky football team wins. I'm as happy as hell. Don't even care the Hawks lost yesterday. I'm watching that game against the Raiders, and I couldn't even give a damn.
It's like a free space.
Because the Hawks are
on a bingo board.
The Hawks are 10-2. These Huskies are 10-2. They win the Apple Cup. Those clowns got to go back to the beginning and start all over again in their quest for 3 in a row. They took the number one defense in the conference, and they made them look like freaking cottage cheese. That wasn't a freaking knife through butter. That was a chainsaw through butter is what that was. And they're lucky the game ended when it did. I think Ian's right, because if that thing kept going, who knows? I'm telling you, they could have scored 70 on those guys if they wanted to.
It would have been the duck game over again.
They could have scored 70. We'll get a break. 3:23, a lot to get to, including your thoughts. 49451. We will talk a lot of Seahawks today, obviously, but we're kind of basking in the glow of the Apple Cup victory on Saturday. We're rubbing it in because it deserves to be rubbed in their fat faces. This radio station has Cougars up and down the damn dial for 5 freaking hours before we go on the air. You've been waiting all day for this, and you're going to get it between now and 5:15, right here from the Emerald Queen Casino. Fact or Fiction coming up next as well on 93.3 KJR FM.
Tune in tomorrow morning at 9 as Rick Neuheisel of CBS Sports joins Chuck and Buck to talk all things college football. Tuesdays at 9 on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
This report is sponsored by Dell Technologies.
Watch for a crash in Kent, southbound 5, just before Highway 516. It's blocking the left lane with emergency crews on the scene.
We can play holiday music on the radio
show,
and nobody can complain about it. A little Mannheim steam cracker here for
I
you
like it.
On the program.
I like
you know
it.
What was going on at the Climate Pledge Arena Saturday night, by the way?
Oh, did they do their concert?
A little Mannheim steamroller.
Oh, nice.
And then guess what happened in Pullman, baby, at about 7:30?
Yeah, Mannheim steamroller.
The Huskies steamrolled Wazoo. Mannheim steamrolled Wazoo is what they did. We got Fact or Fiction coming up in a matter of minutes. We got to get it together here, boys. We are right there on the edge.
Yes, we are.
We're a game behind. We have come back from the depths to get to within one game of Dumb and Dumber from 10-1, otherwise known as Buck and Jim. They are 33-24. We are 32-25. We're 14-4 in the last 4 weeks. I've climbed back to 2 games under 500 after a 0-7 start. 3-0 last week, including the Huskies, by the way, given the points in the Apple Cup against the Cougars on Saturday. So fact or fiction coming up in a matter of minutes. But, man, there's a Heisman Trophy campaign going on right now. You may have seen it, by the way, on Twitter. And if you missed it, then you're not on
Twitter.
It's all over the place. It's like a freaking fungus, but a fungus in a good way, by the way. It's like a fungus that sprouts dollar bills. It's one that you want to have. Michael Penix for Heisman is all over Twitter, all over social media, all over the internet. There is a website that has now been launched as well that the Huskies have set up. I know they did a Zoom call with national media today. I want to get that website and give it to you here. Penix 4, the number 4, Heisman.com is up and running. And, look, I think it's going to be a long shot to get him to New York City. I can tell you he's not going to win the damn thing. I think Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman Trophy, the quarterback from USC. But I think he's got a shot to get there. He's got a shot to get to New York City, and it depends on how many people they take. Sometimes they take 3. Sometimes they take 4. I've seen years where they take 5. It just depends on a certain threshold and how close that vote is when it's all said and done. But just the fact, Dick, that we can even sit here and talk about Michael Penix and the Heisman Trophy conversation and not be complete homers about it is unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely. And he's totally deserving of going, I think. And, you know, do they tabulate the votes and then decide who and how many are going?
Yes. The votes are due, I believe, on Sunday night or Monday morning. I gotta check my email, but they base it on a certain threshold. Like, if one guy's got, like, 5,000 more points than the second guy, they're not taking 4 people, obviously, right? They're probably going to take 3, but they can take 4. And again, I've seen years where there's been up to 5 guys there. So it just depends on how close the vote truly is. And I think for college football right now, it should be a fairly close vote in the Heisman Trophy race. I mean, the guy from TCU, the running back in Michigan, Hendon Hooker, I know is still going to get some votes in the SEC despite not playing the last couple weeks. But I think what hurts UW is the same thing that hurt Christian McCaffrey when he was at Stanford.
A lot of night games.
Nobody watches him play.
A lot of night games. Man, think about all the 7:30 starts we've had, and even the 5 o'clock starts.
They had 2 games that started before 4 o'clock. Two.
The whole year?
The whole year. That's it.
Well, there you go. I mean, now, they probably watched Michael Penix in that ABC game. That was the national ABC game against Michigan State.
Right.
And they watched him in the Oregon game.
Right.
And that was it.
That's it.
Nobody's watching the Apple. Nobody's watching the Apple Cup in New York.
No, for sure.
It's starting at 10:40.
And it's, you know, look, it's not just New York. It's the whole East Coast, the SEC, the Midwest, the South, Texas, places like that where a lot of people are voting. There's a higher concentration of voters out there than there is here on the West Coast. But it would be unbelievable to see Michael Penix there. I don't know if there's a Husky that has made a bigger impact than him in a shorter amount of time. The only guy that would come close to me would be Corey
Dillon. Corey Dillon's the only
one. And he's not a quarterback.
Because he was arguably the best running back in college football in his only year here.
That's it. But he never went 10-2, and he's not going to get invited to New York for the Heisman Trophy. So, I don't know. He may have had the biggest impact ever in the shortest amount of time on campus. I think the guy's a legend. I mean, he takes off, but the guy's a freaking legend. You better make space on that facade of the stadium on the Montlake side for his face, because it deserves to be up there. Fact or fiction, brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino right now.
We're set to go. Glad you're with us.
It's your shot at our weekly $1,000 and the $10,000 grand prize. It's fact or fiction, brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino, the betting capital of the Northwest. Make the beautiful new EQC Sportsbook your home all football season long. Fact or fiction is on Sports Radio 93.3. KJR FM.
All right, we're getting down to it. What is this, our penultimate week, second to last week? Is that correct, Jackson, for Factor Fiction? 2 more weeks to go, so we got 2 weeks. We got 10 picks to make up 1 game with
Let's
Jim Moore and Jason Puckett. We got to be 1 game better than them the rest of the way. This is almost as big for me as the Apple Cup, by the way, Dick, to be totally honest with you. How much would it hurt for those bastards to lose the Apple Cup and then lose the Factor Fiction Championship to the Husky Show?
Well, I mean, it would be fitting because it would be a cougat of the Factor Fiction Championship.
Epic proportions. I think at one point they had a pretty big lead, so we're a game behind right now. And I see a football team, the New York Jets, that's living on borrowed time. They're going to Minneapolis to U.S. Bank Stadium this weekend, and they're 3.5-point underdogs. I believe Minnesota's giving 3 in this game against the New York Jets. They're giving 3, correct, and I think the Jets are going to be shown to be the frauds that they are in this game on Sunday, and I like Minnesota to win and cover that spread rather easily. I think it'll be a lower-scoring game, by the way, because the Jet defense, I think, is pretty good. I could see a 17-10 or a 21-13 type win for Minnesota. I don't see Mike White being the savior that everybody thinks they are, that he is in New York. I think there's going to be a point in time during that game where Jet fans, knowing them, maybe chanting for Zach Wilson to come back in the game against Minnesota. So I think Minnesota's starting to heat up a little bit. They had a good game on Thursday on Thanksgiving against the Texans, pulled away and covered that thing in the end. So for the second straight week, I'm going to ride the Viking train. Give me Minnesota minus the 3 on Sunday against the Jets.
Well, it all depends on what we think Mike White is. Now, if Mike White turns out to be the quarterback that Jackson Feltz hoped he was a couple of years ago,
right,
when he picked against him in Factor Fiction, and that didn't go well. I just think he's an upgrade, a significant upgrade on Wilson. And that worries me a little bit. So I'm a team player. I'll go with you. I hope you're right. But it's not one of the games that I would touch.
Well, that's too bad for you, because then when the Vikings win, you can just say that you were kind of on the bus, but not all the way on the bus.
No, I'll admit that I wasn't really on the bus. I'm going to give you all credit whatsoever if the Vikings come.
I don't want credit. Is this one of those things where we replay Dick's reaction, Jackson, on Monday if the Vikings end up covering?
Because he's still on our side. He's still backing us.
No, this is different than the last one, because the last one I hated the pick. Yeah. This one, I'm just like, it's just not one I'd go with, but
all right, Minnesota,
I'm okay.
The pick is in. It's too late. The commissioner is coming to the podium to announce the pick. Minnesota giving 3. Fact if you agree to 49451. Fiction if you disagree to 49451. We got 2 more weeks every day, 7:35, 11:35, 2:35, and 3:35. We give you a chance to win $1,000. You get 1 pick right a week, and you're eligible for $1,000. Minnesota minus the 3 against the Jets this Sunday. Fact or fiction to 49451. Right now, we'll talk more Apple Cup. Jackson Kirkland, his weekly visit courtesy of VenueKings.com, is next on 93.3 KJR FM.
Tune in tomorrow morning at 11 as John Canzano joins Buck and Jim to cover all things Pac-12. Each Tuesday at 11 on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
This report is sponsored by KFC.
Travel times are looking pretty good right now. Southbound 5 Linwood to Seattle is a 23-minute drive. From Redmond to Seattle, that's a 22-minute drive.
51, Jackson Kirkland. Brought to you by Venue Kings. On your home for the Huskies. Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
All right, back here at the Emerald Queen Casino, Softy and Dick until 5:15 the night before the game. Everybody's been waiting for, man. Pittsburgh, Indianapolis coming up 5:15 tonight from Indiana. I mean, if you're betting on it, then who cares, right? Whatever.
I've already put a couple of wagers on the game.
It's going to be a good one.
I'll watch it.
Right,
I'll
here
to
on
it.
93.3 KJR FM. I tell you what I did yesterday, though. Before the Seahawk game, I woke up and I watched the Apple Cup all over again. I might even watch that damn thing again tonight. It's like one of your favorite movies. You like to watch over and over and over and over again. I wonder if our next guest has watched the Apple Cup in its entirety since Saturday night. Here he is from the Husky offensive line, courtesy of our friends at VenueKings.com, our friend Jackson Kirkland. Have you watched the game in its entirety since Saturday, pal?
Hey, guys. Yes, I have watched it. I'd have to agree with the comments you made, Softy. It definitely gets better each time you watch it.
Yeah, because with the season ending for now, you're waiting for the bowl game, obviously, and you'll find out more about that on Sunday. Do you have your typical film study that you would have on Sunday after a game, or do you just kind of go home and maybe fire up the TV copy of that bad boy and watch that game on your couch?
No, you know, actually, since, the regular season's over, so we've been relaxed and taking it easy. We have not met yet and watched it as a group.
We were just talking about where you guys have come. I mean, we're talking 12 months ago, probably at this casino, about a 4-8 football team that is as low as it's been in 13, 14 years. And to get to now potentially one step away from a Rose Bowl, have you just stopped at all and thought about how far you've come in the last 12 months as a program?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, what you're saying there, Dick, as well. I mean, it's crazy that just only a year ago we were, sitting here disgusted at how the Apple Cup went last year, and it was sadly the perfect cherry on top to a 4-8 season in a bad way. And to turn it around the way we did, I mean, it's so surreal. But I just knew after last year where a team was just too talented and had, you know, too many great things in terms of players on the roster, et cetera, that we just had so much more in us. And that's what was frustrating. And to finally tap into that this year, I really think sky's the limit. You're just seeing that with this team.
Yeah, it was like 460 days ago or whatever. You lost to freaking Montana, for God's sakes. And here we are now talking about a 10-2 football team that may end up in the damn Rose Bowl. But go back to Saturday night, man. It kind of took the offense maybe a little bit to get clicking there. And then you turn things on in that second quarter. Tell me about what kind of started working for you when things really got going there in quarter number two.
Yeah, definitely. I think credit to Washington State's defense. I mean, going in, we knew it was going to be a battle. They were no joke, as you know. Statistically on paper, they had one of the best defense, if not in the Pac-12, in terms of yards allowed and all that. So we knew it was going to be a dogfight. But, yeah, we just kept swinging. It kind of reminded me of the Oregon game, all that back and forth. But the offense was never flinching. We were chomping at the bit every time to get the ball back because we just knew that they couldn't stop us, and you saw that in the second half. We really took off there, and, you know, the halftime, not a whole lot of adjustments were made. We just said, hey, we're just going to keep our foot on the pedal, and that's what we did, and you saw that in the second half.
Jackson, how aware are you of a game plan going into the game as far as, you know, run-pass balance? Because obviously Ryan wanted to throw the damn ball in that game coming in. Did you kind of know that it was going to be a really pass-happy offense for you guys that day?
You know, I can't really speak for, as an O-lineman, I don't really know, like, what the, I guess, percentage or how they're going to pass to throw, but I know certainly in the game plan, like, what our mentality is when we're trying to execute pass and trying to execute the run. But yeah, it certainly seemed like going into the week that there was a lot for us in the passing game, like any game. And yep, you know, Mike just proved that the whole night. But we knew that Washington State's defensive front was going to blitz a lot, and if we can handle those pressures and pick it up and give Penix time, great things are going to happen. And obviously you saw that come to the light. The goal for the O-line is just give number nine some time and great things will happen, and that's certainly what's been going on.
Well, another game where he's not sacked. I mean, unbelievable. You know, I texted you after the game. Washington State had 74 tackles for loss on defense and 29 sacks, and you did not give up one of either of them in this game. No TFLs, no sacks, no nothing. I mean, tell me about that. Tell me about kind of how much that resonates with you when you think about how good this Cougar defense was on tape and on paper going into this game.
Yeah, it's a huge job, mission accomplished, because totally going in, we were getting ready for, as I said earlier, battles, because they had a great defense and we knew they were going to pressure the hell out of us. And it's our job as the O-line to keep Mike clean. Coach Huff has a statement, it's, you know, my man doesn't touch the QB mentality. And he's been so disciplined with us and trying to be a perfectionist. Yeah. To keep Mike clean, and great things will happen. So, yeah, going into the game, we're like, hey, if we can – these guys are going to send a lot, and if we can – they're also gambling a lot by sending a bunch of guys, so people will be open if we can pick it up. And like I said earlier, when we did that, you saw the huge touchdown plays. That was because the guys are from, but also because of the great throw by Mike, receivers, et cetera.
Was it getting chippy out there? Was there a lot of talking going on out there on Saturday, Jackson?
I mean, here and there. I mean, it's the Apple Cup. I love to get into it as well, and, you know, let it be known how my pride in the University of Washington, especially going over there. We like to talk a little bit here and there. So, yeah, there are some moments.
Well, in the span of 14 days, you walked into Autzen Stadium and came away with a win, and you walked into Martin Stadium and came away with a win. Which one makes you feel better?
You know, they both make me feel great. I mean, that's a tough question because both make me feel pretty damn good. But, yeah, I mean, going into both, it's crazy. They're both away games. But, I mean, we just handled it so well. I think Coach Grubbs' tweet said it best. We're 9-0 at home. And so going there the way we did, we kind of treated those both like home games, as you can see. So, yeah,
I think people saw that tweet from Grubb, by the way, and thought that, hey, this guy's been drinking too much. But then when you explained it to people, yeah, he meant obviously Autzen Stadium, Martin Stadium as well, making that your home. But go back to the second half, because you guys come out that first play, 75 yards to McMillan for the touchdown. And then the next two drives, you guys have turnovers, a fumble by Cam Davis and the pick by Mike at the 11-yard line. Tell me about kind of what the sideline attitude was like and what the message was on the sideline after that second turnover to make sure that things did not fall apart offensively.
Yeah, we didn't really flinch on those, and it kind of reminds me of when we had the interception down at Oregon when we drove all the way down. I think it was either early in the fourth quarter, that interception, but we just didn't flinch because we got to look at those moments and be like, well, dang, we were actually moving the ball on them great. It wasn't like we were backed up third down, you know, really stuck behind our chains. We had some real momentum and pushing the ball. So, yeah, it's unfortunate when those happen, but you got to look at, well, we're just going to do it again because we just moved the ball all the way down the field and we're just itching to get it back.
Well, it sounds like half the roster was sick going into that game. Were you one of them?
Yeah, I definitely was. We had something going around, and we battled all week. And, you know, Alex Cook and I brought the team up and told the guys that, you know, we're going through it right now, but let's just look at reality. No one really cares about that. It's one of those things where you just got to suck it up. I mean, really, I just want to say, like, guys, it's the Apple Cup. Like, sickness is out the window. We're just going to grind through this thing and not let it affect us.
Did you feel that way during the game on Saturday? Were you playing with something during the game, or was it gone by then, you think?
No, I think kind of adrenaline and stuff kicks in. You don't really feel it. You know, I certainly know traveling and stuff. Some guys were maybe still going through it. But, yeah, once the game time hit, I mean, it was all focused on the game.
You've got an opportunity, potentially, to end your Husky career in the Rose Bowl. Are you planning a USC viewing party on Friday night?
Yeah, I don't know about a viewing party, but let's just say I'll be glued to that TV the whole time, that's for sure.
Yeah, pulling for the Trojans, I assume, huh?
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, because Kalen said it perfectly today. He said, you guys already did Utah one favor. Now it's time for them to do you a favor and lose this freaking thing on Friday night to USC. But I got to tell you, man, so many cool things came out of the last couple of weeks. You knock Oregon out of the Final Four. You knock Oregon out of the Pac-12 championship game. You win the Northwest Championship. That's a term that was coined famously by Rick Neuheisel about 18, 19 years ago. And now you're 10-2. And I just wonder, what's this week going to be all about? Do you guys take the week off and rest up? Do you go into the weight room? Do you watch film? What's this week all about for you, man?
Yeah, it's an important week. I don't want to sound like a nerd and like for guys, but like school is really important. We have the finals week is either it's next week or the week after. So this is a great opportunity for guys kind of to check back in on the classes because that sometimes can be difficult when, you know, you have November football coming in and stuff's getting real important. But, yeah, we'll be in the weight room this week, and then I know we're going to break down the film at some point. But, yeah, it's a low-key week. Yep. Time to rest up, you know, get the body right.
Yeah, I got to ask you before you go, walking off the field on Saturday, you may have noticed it that the Cougars had some security with a big old rope around the Cougar logo at the 50-yard line. Was there any part of you or your teammates that thought about walking over there and maybe doing some damage or having a little dance or having some fun on that bad boy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to us, I like to see it just as another win. I know those guys on the other side of the state, that's really their Super Bowl, and you saw that last year for when they get a win on us. You know, that won't happen for some time, but, yeah, no, I mean, that's little brother, and I think some of those security guys right there should be hired as the coordinators on that side because they did a pretty dang good job of keeping people at the logo.
I love it. You know, I knew you had it in you. I knew you had one more shot in you before the show came to an end.
That's awesome.
All right, man. Hey, great stuff. Congratulations on the win on Saturday. Rest up, and we'll talk before the bowl game. All right, pal?
Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Go Dogs.
All right, go Dogs. Jackson Kirkland with us. We're going to break. We'll come back and talk a little Seahawks as well. Aaron Levine's going to join us from Fox 13+. We'll simulcast with him at 4:20, coming up on 93.3 KJR-FM.